Greetings, warriors, veterans, and American-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. While I'm happy that NATO is sending tanks to Ukraine, I'm disappointed with the number they're talking about. We're going to send 31 tanks. This is nowhere near a tank battalion. We look like jerks. Will 105 German Leopards really make a difference? I have no idea how many tanks the Russians have available to commit. No matter how much better our tanks might be than theirs, they can be overwhelmed by the sheer numbers if deployed properly. The Russians did a poor job of executing their armor attacks last spring. We must assume that they learned by their mistakes. They thought then that we would not fight and thus roll down the roads. This year, you have to believe they'll use a team approach with better coordination. Come on, Europe. How about you coming up with about 1,000 tanks? Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. Have you done any shooting, Skip? Maybe balloons in the sky?
Well, no, not any balloons. But I was out there with my binoculars. I was waiting. I was ready. But it just didn't take the right path, Colonel. I could have nailed that sucker.
Well, maybe you had better communication with the Chinese. You could tell them where to steer their thing.
Yeah, I'll tell them where to put their balloon. Absolutely, Colonel.
Okay, here's what we have for you today. On News and Comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss rare earth elements and war. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. And former Director of National Intelligence Rick Grinnell will share some insights, to including about a balloon that came flying over our country. You may have heard about it. Then we'll hear from Concerned Veterans for America's Steve Buchalter, and we'll shoot the bull with Air Force vet Amanda Winters.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. And now it's time for News and Comments by the Colonel. And of course, we're going to start with the news. Take us there, Skip. What came first?
Well, Colonel, we all know that a maneuverable balloon was flown from China to Alaska, then over Canada, and into the United States, and hovered over many military bases before we shot it down a bit over a week ago. The balloon had a large payload underneath the surveillance component of the balloon that must have recorded a lot of data about our military bases. And yes, the balloon violated U.S. airspace and international law. And yes, there's another Chinese balloon over South America. And yes, we have protested to China. But that's not the only Chinese invasion that took place then. In an unsurprising yet disturbing incident, three Chinese nationals have been apprehended by the U.S. Border Patrol while attempting to enter the U.S. illegally from Mexico. The trio paid human smugglers $35,000 each to get them into the country. Texas Department of Public Safety troopers witnessed the three Chinese and a woman from Colombia cross illegally into Mission, Texas. The town lies near the southern tip of Texas along the Rio Grande and is a hotbed for illegal smuggling activity.
So our response to the balloon is totally unacceptable. We could have told China when we first saw it that we'll shoot it down if it crosses into our nation, but we didn't. You can bet that they just shoot down any American object that flew into their airspace. We don't have a functioning defense system right now in our nation, and the Chinese nationals are coming here illegally with enough money to pay the Mexican cartels their big bucks. I hope it's very obvious. China is very hostile to our nation. We need to get every part of the Chinese government out of our nation.
Colonel, I just got a comment on this. I'm sorry. It's just the thing that disturbs me most is that the people in charge of our country are making decisions like this. This is just crazy. What are they going to do? I mean, what if it wasn't a balloon? What if it was an ICBM? Are they going to act quickly enough? I don't know.
And they're not going to take responsibility for whatever they do or don't do.
Well, yeah. Speaking of the southern border, the media made a big deal about President Biden's recent trip there. Biden viewed sections of El Paso where no illegals were found. He then pronounced the crisis was non-existent. Yet thousands of illegal immigrants flood the border every day. No state has room for this endless wave of invaders. So Texas Governor Abbott just appointed the state's first ever border czar. Well, President Biden tapped Vice President Harris to be his border czar. She was supposed to address this issue back in 2021, but it's only gotten worse. The VP has done nothing to address the historic levels of outsiders invading our country. Abbott tapped former Border Patrol agent Mike Banks for this new role. He has firsthand knowledge of the crisis at the border. He'll certainly provide a needed perspective on handling this issue. But creating this new post and the staff will cost Texas money. Why does the governor have to create this post at all? Well, the border is open, putting the lives of every American at risk. Our immigration laws are not enforced. Period.
I've said this before. The current administration inherited a mostly secure southern border, and they've made it totally insecure. Millions of illegal aliens are now in our country, and someone has to feed them and care for them, and our nation's budget's blown. And these illegals are bringing in tons of illegal drugs that are killing our people, especially our kids. Our nation's leaders must want this to be happening, or they'd stop it. This is pure evil.
And the U.S. Department of Labor announced last month that it is accepting applications for the 2023 Higher Vets Medallion Award. The award is presented annually to employers that meet standards for excellence in the recruitment, hiring, and retention of America's military veterans. The award recognizes small businesses, nonprofits, and large companies for leadership in promoting veterans' employment. Employers meeting criteria for the award will join over 1,600 employers recognized for their support of our veterans. This award is a meaningful and important recognition. Veterans and their families benefit from careers with real growth potential, and employers gain dedicated, qualified employees who can make a significant contribution to the bottom line. Employers must apply by April 30, 2023.
I hope all businesses will get involved in this. Veterans make good employees as they've been good members of real teams. I do encourage employers to give priority to veterans. Please do.
And the 2024 Paris International Olympics are coming soon, and Ukraine President Zelensky wants Russian athletes banned from competing. According to the International Olympic Committee, Russian and Belarusian athletes may be allowed to join the games under a neutral flag. Their country's anthems, flags, and colors would be banned. Zelensky responded, quote, "There is no such thing as neutrality when a war like this is going on, and we know how often tyrannies try to use sports for the ideological interest," unquote. Zelensky said he's disappointed in the committee's decision. Quote, "It's obvious that any neutral flag of Russian athletes is stained with blood," unquote. The IOC is between a rock and a hard place. On one side, the Ukrainian president makes his case. On the other hand, the UN Human Rights Council cites serious issues of non-discrimination.
When a nation conducts a military invasion of another nation for no valid reason, that is evil. That nation should be barred from participating in any normal international activities. I don't understand the UN Human Rights Council statement at all.
And the covert overseas police station run by the Chinese in New York City has been closed following a reported raid by the FBI. Quote, "The FBI has confirmed that the overseas police station in New York has closed," a State Department spokesperson said. "We continue to be concerned about People's Republic of China transnational repression efforts around the world and are also coordinating with allies and partners on this issue." This closure in New York's Chinatown comes just weeks after the New York Times reported that FBI agents raided and searched the building sometime last fall. The facility and over 100 others like it form a network of covert facilities from which experts believe that the Chinese Communist Party is conducting a campaign of transnational repression.
We've discussed this some time ago. The Chinese have police departments all over the world. The one in New York was the only one in our country. This is one of the ways they control their people and infiltrate our nation. I wonder why the New York raid didn't take place years ago. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check cv4a.org. That's cv4a.org. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Front Lines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some more wisdom. Then we'll talk with former Director of National Intelligence, Rick Grinnell. At East Troops, take a break. Troops, if you ever have to defend yourself or your family with your firearm, you'll need legal representation. That's why I'm a member of U.S. Law Shield. They provide the best self-defense insurance that I've found. They recommend that you not even talk to the police without an attorney present. They provide unlimited attorney coverage as needed at a very reasonable rate. Check uslawshield.com, uslawshield.com, and use the code FRONTLINES. That's one word, FRONTLINES. You'll be glad you did.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correa with your home defense tip of the week. Always keep your guns locked up and safe from unauthorized users, especially your children. Inside your home, you should be able to get to your gun within 5 seconds of sensing danger. To accomplish this, stage a secure and loaded firearm on each level of your home. Above all else, never leave loaded guns unattended where children can gain access. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
Fresh, flash, frozen, from the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com, hit the shop now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. Look at us online, see how we give back. For the servicemen and women of this great country, we are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM, 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. Troops, did you know American farmers are going out of business because people are buying foreign food? It's not good for our nation's security if we can't feed ourselves. We need to maintain our food independence by buying food grown in America. Patriot Foods is not emergency food. It's food produced by our farmers. That's what I eat. Use the promo code FREEDOM and save 10%. Check PatriotFoods.com. That's PatriotFoods.com. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Troops, we really need to be aware of our nation's vital need for the rare earth elements, REEs, also called rare earth metals. They're a set of 17 nearly indistinguishable, lustrous, silver-white, soft, heavy metals. Compounds containing rare earths have diverse applications in electrical and electronic components, lasers, glass, magnetic materials, and industrial process. These elements are vital for advanced batteries, lasers, electronics, and all emerging technology of the 21st century, including energy transition. They are absolutely vital for our nation's defense, and if they ever catch on, for electric cars. And the problem, virtually all the REE comes from communist China. Sweden's state-owned mining enterprise, LKAB, may have given the West hopes in its search for energy independence and containing China. Last month, LKAB announced it had discovered nearly 1 million metric tons of rare earth elements. After the Cold War ended, a series of U.S. and European policy failures resulted in China nearly monopolizing REE production and refinement, with the EU importing 98% of its REE from China, and we're not much better, with 78% of our imports coming from China. With the West decoupling itself from Russian energy, especially due to the invasion of Ukraine, our overwhelming reliance on China for REEs has been clearly a cause for serious concern. China's escalating threat to Taiwan, confrontation in the South China Sea, bellicose rhetoric, the economic power projection in Africa and Latin America, and more lead many to consider China controlling our economy and the defense in the future a real possibility. China achieved this dominance when its smart investment met Western incompetence. Oh, and some REEs are not rare at all. While China does have notable deposits, China's not a natural Saudi Arabia of REEs. It was only in the mid-1990s when we entered a recession and we let China flood the global market that the modern REE supply environment got out of control. Many have tried and failed to displace China's dominance. In 2011, Brazilian mining giant Vale discovered a cache of REEs, catapulting their stock prices up and attracting investments from our Defense Department. However, these past discoveries and many smaller ones were always hampered by the small scale of production and a lack of political will or strategic vision on our part. That is changing. We are now moving, albeit imperfectly, to reestablish our former dominance. MP Materials bought the failed Mountain Pass mine in California, which was closed in 2002, and that closure ended our REE competitiveness. Well, it restarted production in 2017 with the help of multiple government grants. However, a Chinese mining company still owns a stake in MP Materials. Nevertheless, the company aims to improve U.S. refining, separation, and magnet making by 2025. The Biden administration is tackling these issues through investments in climate change technology, including a $30 million initiative to research and secure the U.S. supply chain for domestic rare earth and battery-making materials, and signing an executive order to review gaps in the domestic supply chains for rare earths, medical devices, chips, and other key resources. This may be too little too late, and it's the wrong focus. Our national defense has to come first. Other ideas proposed to resolve the REE issue include extracting rare earths from coal, recycling old batteries or old disk drives, and setting up a recycling system. While these might help a bit, our dysfunctional politics and stupid reluctance to use domestic mineral resources means our energy security will involve foreign actors. Friendshoring, the latest term for ensuring one economically only relies on allies, has been championed by our Treasury Secretary for REEs as a way of shifting resources of REEs away from unfriendly regimes while expanding allies' manufacturing capabilities. Sweden's discovery could lead to more friendshoring, helping the West become more energy secure while strengthening the transatlantic alliance and bolstering our ability to compete with China. However, Sweden alone can't realistically replace Chinese REEs. China accounts for 37% of the world's REE reserves, 63% of its mining capability, and over 90% of its refining capability. We're already cooperating with one of the largest processors of REEs outside of China, the Australian-owned Lynas Corporation, to build both light and heavy REE separation facilities in Texas, which will begin operations in 2025. Our efforts to close the REE gap is working, as China's share of the world's REE production declined from 80% in 2020 to 60% in 2021. The two key REE issues the West must contend with going forward are timing and processing. It's expected that it will take 10 to 15 years before Sweden's materials hit the market. This stems from the huge issue, REE processing. While the materials themselves are abundant, extracting, processing, and refining are difficult for technical and environmental reasons. And you may count on the fact that China is not doing the processing in an environmentally friendly way. Our success in securing an REE supply chain depends on whether we can accelerate processing and refining, but building a solid processing chain could take a decade. China conducts 85% of the world's REE processing and 92% of REE magnet production. Many European countries have REEs, but lack processing expertise. While Sweden's efforts are being developed, China could deploy REE blackmail against the West and use the export revenues earned from trade with Europe to fulfill all kinds of geopolitical designs. And why wouldn't they? We need to not only invest in the U.S. and Europe's REE extraction, but also in processing and refinement. Allies are important for this strategic competition, and we have many. It will serve us better to strengthen our and our allies' capabilities to secure the REE supply chain. This is the true essence of friendshoring and one of the most important strategic trade problems of our age. We have to deal with and survive China's economic and other efforts while we're doing this. We'd best get started now. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
So what's the key to sending humans to Mars? Well, it just may be nuclear thermal rockets. NASA and the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA, are teaming up to develop these nuclear-powered thermal rockets, and they want to have them ready by 2027. With this type of technology, astronauts could journey to and from deep space faster than ever, which of course will be very important if we want to do crewed missions to Mars. Using nuclear thermal rockets will allow transit between the Moon and Mars in much less time, and that will reduce the overall risk for astronauts. You see, longer trips require more supplies, so reducing the time to transit will be a key component to success. Nuclear thermal rocket engines have a fusion reactor that generates extremely high temperatures. NASA said the engine transfers that heat to a liquid propellant, which is exhausted through a nozzle that propels the aircraft. And these types of engines, they can be three times more efficient than the current chemical propulsion engines. Now, this isn't necessarily a new idea. The last nuclear thermal rocket engine test conducted by the U.S. took place more than 50 years ago by NASA for the Rover project. This new project is called the Demonstration Rocket for Agile Cislunar Operations, or DRACO for short. I don't know where the government gets these names from. Now, under this new agreement, NASA will lead the technical development of the engine, and DARPA will function as a contracting authority for the stage, the engine, and of course, the reactor. You know, DARPA and NASA have a long history of collaboration. From the Saturn V rocket that took humans to the moon for the first time, to today's robotic servicing and refueling of satellites. Now, I'm curious, I wonder what the military is looking at for this technology. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I enjoy your comments. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss our nation's challenges with former Director of National Intelligence, Rick Grinnell. Then we'll talk with Steve Burkhalter from Concerned Veterans for America. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. You're standing tall at Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. Start with 50, take a break, do another 50, then stand at ease.
Nearly 30% of veterans have disabilities caused by military service. At Berry Law, we fight to make sure that every veteran receives full compensation for their injuries. Our team of attorneys, veterans, and former VA employees have helped veterans recover over $100 million in back pay from inadequate VA decisions. For a free consultation, call 888-883-2483.
From ending our nation's endless wars, to making sure veterans get the care they deserve, to addressing our country's out-of-control spending problem, Concerned Veterans for America is taking on the most important issues facing our nation. You can help CVA shape a better future for Americans everywhere. Visit cv4a.org to learn more, see how you can get involved, and join our movement. That's cv4a.org.
Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. We were supposed to have as a guest on this show right now my good friend Rick Grinnell, who has served our nation in many ways, not the least of which was as Director of National Security under President Trump. But his mother is having some serious surgery, and he's not able to join us. What Rick was going to talk about was, among other things, the China balloon situation. So Skip Coriel is joining me right now, and we're going to discuss the China balloon situation, see if we can pull a little sense out of the nonsense we've been hearing. Skip, are you full of sense or nonsense?
I'm full of sense. Not sure if it's common, common sense, but I've got plenty of old-school, old-fashioned, traditional sense, Colonel.
You know, it's amazing how well that works, and you can't buy an app with it on it.
Oh, it's time-tested.
Well, it is. Okay, the China balloon. There's this big balloon coming towards our country, basically towards Alaska, from China, and apparently the North American Air Defense Command picked it up. That's their job. They were set up to pick up Soviet bombers back in the Cold War, but they still exist. The guy who heads the North American Air Defense Command also commands U.S. Northern Command for the U.S. military. Northern Command is basically the continental United States. And the good general said that he saw it coming, but it didn't seem hostile, so he didn't want to shoot it down. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Did he have X-ray vision so that he knew everything that was on it?
Oh, Colonel, I'm coming at this from the perspective of a novelist. You know, I write fiction, and my genre that I write is apocalyptic adventure stuff. And I can tell you, my imagination must be a lot better than this general's, because it's like I knew right out of the box. Well, what could possibly go wrong, or what's the worst case scenario? It's obvious, right? I mean, Could there be explosives underneath this balloon? And if there is, you know, what should we do about it? And if there isn't, do we really want to take a chance and just let it fly over the entire country for 8 days? I mean, I'm just a novelist, but figure this out, Colonel.
You know, apparently it was steerable. It was able to not just float with the air, but to be steered. So it was under control from somewhere. We could see that. It had a lot, bunch of stuff hanging under it. And of course, they probably gave a scout's honor that it wasn't a nuclear bomb. but, you know, but to get to the bottom line, an EMT, if you set off a small nuclear weapon at a high altitude over the United States, that would cause an EMT, an electromagnetic pulse, which would fry every computer that was on receive. That would be in your car. It would be in our nuclear systems. It would fry them all. And the bomb could be so high up that you weren't even aware it went off, but it would take out, I'm not sure, half of the receivers geographically all around the where that small nuclear bomb went off.
Yeah.
And we were so sure that it didn't have that.
Yeah.
I mean, am I missing something here? I mean, this is a four-star general.
Right. Well, he's a four-star general, but you know, you've been talking about the woke military for a couple of years now, right? And basically, you know, they've been suppressing the common sense warrior generals and promoting the politically correct woke generals. And maybe this is one of those woke generals that just isn't thinking like a warrior. That's my first thought about it.
Yeah, and I would be absolutely beyond belief that his headquarters, when they got the information, they didn't notify him, but they didn't also notify the Pentagon. I mean, that just has to be an automatic thing. When anything, much less a thing from China, is entering our airspace. So it's possible that he was told by our people in the Pentagon, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the Secretary of Defense, or somebody, that no, don't shoot it down. It's okay. Or we're going to call China and tell them they got 2 minutes to turn it around, or we're going to shoot it down. Or, I mean, I can come up with some scenarios. I'm not a novelist like you are, but none of them are, oh, it doesn't look hostile, and so far I'm not going to do anything. I mean,
yeah,
there's something wrong here. And then they decide to let it go over Alaska. Okay, if it had to pick some state to go over that it wouldn't be as big a threat, probably Alaska would be the one, but I thought we were supposed to protect everybody. Anyway, then it goes over Canada, and apparently Canada doesn't pay any attention to it, or they're not concerned, or maybe they are concerned and talk to North American Air Defense Command, commanded by an American four-star general, who said, don't sweat it. And then it comes to the United States. And how long did it spend cruising over most of the major military facilities in the United States?
Yeah, it kind of hovered over our missile silos for a while. That's probably just a coincidence.
Yeah, probably.
But, you know, I was doing the research on this, and basically the thing that makes an air balloon more effective at surveillance is because it's so much closer than a satellite.
Yes,
and you know it can intercept communications from one silo to another, and it can also get much higher resolution, more clear pictures than a satellite can. And I'm just blown away that no one higher up thought it was a bad idea to just let them hover over all of our missile sites. And you know, you mentioned the thing with an EMP attack. And that's one of the things that I researched heavily because, as you know, I read a lot of apocalyptic adventure. You know, what fun way to destroy civilization than with an EMP? And I've done it in several of my novels. And in a novel, it's fun, but in real life, it's not fun. And there are estimates from experts. If there is an EMP attack, a major impact on the United States, within a year, 90% of our population will be dead, either from civil unrest, from disease, from starvation, just all kinds of things. And that's assuming that they don't follow up, you know, with a conventional attack or a secondary nuclear attack. So this is a really, really big deal. And they took a huge risk at allowing that balloon to travel over the United States. And just thank God that this one wasn't an EMP, but that doesn't mean the next one won't be.
And it could have been something bigger than an EMP. I mean, but
yeah,
that is the most logical way to do an EMP. And then, okay, well, we don't want to shoot it down because it might hurt some people on the ground. The longer you let it fly, the more information they have about our tactical sites, the more information they have about us, and the closer they get to the East Coast has got a lot more stuff on it with computers. We just didn't want to take a chance on it falling down and hurting anybody. Well, I can understand not doing that over New York City, but most of the rest of the place, but even then, it's a huge risk. I keep running it through the computer, and it doesn't make any sense any time that I do that. And there's a lot more to discuss about this balloon trip and what it says about the competence of our military and how safe our country is. And Skip is, of course, going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, thanks for joining us. It's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do some days. Then take a break, but stay in the area. Skip and I will be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
This hour of Frontlines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HelpVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HelpVet.net, HelpVet.net.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation, Skip and I, on the question of the balloon. And I think the key point here is that if we can see these things, do you think that all our allies can't see them and question the intelligence of our national leadership, and our enemies can't see this and decide that if there ever was a time to strike us, it's now because we don't have anybody intelligent running things? Am I on point there, Skip?
Yeah, you are. I mean, but we've been exuding weakness for the last 2 years. I mean, just pretty steadily. And the indecisiveness on the part, I mean, they'll argue, well, we were decisive. We decided not to do anything. Well, China's got to be loving this. I mean, we shot down one of their balloons after it had already done its job and sent them back invaluable, vast amounts of dangerous intelligence, you know, but they have a whole fleet of these balloons. And this isn't the first time that they've done this. You know, according to the reports that we're seeing, they did it, you know, once last year, and they're saying they did it three times when Trump was president. But all indications are that was much different than what happened this time. This time, it was an 8-day flight across Alaska and the continental U.S. and the three that occurred during the Trump administration.
If they actually occurred.
Well, that's true. They just poked around the edges down by Texas. And I think if that's true, why didn't they just try to fly over when Trump was president? And I think the obvious answer is it would have been shot down immediately. So it's a difference between strength and weakness, common sense and brain death at the hands of a woke Pentagon, woke military, and woke White House. This wokeness is killing America without a doubt. And this is like a come to Jesus moment for the United States. If we don't do something, if we don't quote unquote wake up and smell the danger here, this is not going to bode well for the United States. I mean, we're all at danger when things like this are allowed to happen.
That's absolutely true. And the fact that it's so clear, it'd be one thing if the Biden administration would say, okay, I'm thinking about it, we really did this wrong. We should really, that would be one thing. That would say, okay, we acted dumb, we made a mistake, and we won't do that again. I could live with that. I don't like the fact they made a mistake, but the fact that it's still being defended, it's still being said, well, we did the right thing. I mean, everybody makes mistakes. There's nobody who works perfect. The only person who ever was perfect was crucified. And that was 2,000 plus years ago. We all make mistakes. We all do dumb things, but we have to acknowledge them when they're done. And we have to make sure we learn the lesson so that we don't do it again. But there's no indication that may have been, as has been said, just a dry run for an EMP, and the next one will actually have one.
Yeah.
But we'll let it thrive too because it was going to act safe or friendly or something. Was the balloon smiling? How would you know?
Well, you know, when you and I were soccer referees, right? We quickly learned that whatever you allow, you teach. What have we just allowed and what have we just taught the Chinese, the North Koreans, the Iranians, the Russians? We've just taught them that they can fly over our airspace and we're not going to do anything about it. That's a game changer, Denny.
It is. And to me, part of that message is we don't make wise decisions in defending ourselves. So it may not be a flying over. It may be, I don't know, you know, until last month, the Chinese had a police department in New York City.
Yes.
And the FBI just took it out. How did that happen?
I know.
When you make regularly stupid decisions and don't acknowledge them and don't correct, you know, don't learn from the lesson, you're marking yourself as vulnerable to about anything.
Yeah. Well, they double down on their mistakes, which makes them predictable. And China's over there going, okay, they never admit their mistakes. But what do you say about someone who never admits their mistakes? Means they never learn. They're incapable of learning and getting better and improving. And it's like, that's how they're viewing us right now. So they can predict, well, what are we going to do the next time a balloon flies over? Okay, we go ahead and we just let it go through again. So if their goal is to dominate the world, what do they have to do first? First, they have to render the United States impotent.
Yes.
And an EMP is an excellent way to do it, Denny.
It is. And if you were the advisor to the Chinese or Russian or Iranian or North Korean government, and they had the inclination to do that, wouldn't you say, let's get it done within the next 2 years?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, just a few weeks ago, we had that 4-star Air Force general that issued the memo saying to, you know, to all his commanders, prepare for war in 2024. Someone knows something, but they're not saying it. We need this clarion call right now. Wake up. Remember Pearl Harbor EMP over the United States? That would be the Pearl Harbor to end all Pearl Harbors, and we would not be able to recover from that, Colonel.
No, we would not. And every day we get a little more techie, which means a little more computer driven and a little more vulnerable. But even where we are now, if we froze where we are now, as you pointed out before, we'd all be dead, starved to death, fighting each other over whatever, unable to communicate. Car won't start because the EMP ruined the computer receiver on your car. You can't get food. You can't get, I mean, that would be a horrible way to go. And we would all basically all go. I mean, you might have a lot of food in your basement, but how long can you be down there with your food when you run out of water or you can't get medical treatment?
Yeah.
Or you, I mean, we've got to get our elected officials alerted that this is not just an interesting thing that happened.
This is a, it's not a war game.
This is a wake up call, I hope.
Yeah, it's real. Look, Colonel, step back in history, right? Let's go back to October 4th, 1957. Do you remember what happened on 1957, October 4?
No, I don't. I was senior in high school.
Yeah, well, Sputnik 1. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Yes. It was a big deal, wasn't it, Colonel?
It was. It was huge.
And that wasn't the size of, you know, several buses. It was the size of a beach ball, and all it did was beep as it, you know, went around the earth. And it was a big deal, and it's like it was a wake-up call. Wow, the Russians did this, the first artificial satellite to orbit the earth. They did that. We can't do it. We'd better jumpstart our space program, and we did. But I don't have the same confidence in this administration, Colonel, that they're going to see this as a wake-up call, this come-to-Jesus moment. And it really worries me. It really bothers me.
It does. And, you know, we've only got a minute or so left. But folks, listeners, we have to call our congressmen and our senators, regardless of what party they are, and make it clear to them that we have just taught the whole world how vulnerable we are. And we don't even know who all of our enemies might be, but certainly China, Russia, Iran. We have to rattle the cage in Washington now while we still can.
My final thought, Colonel, is this is not a partisan issue. I mean, United States defense, the survival of our republic is not a partisan issue. Whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or an independent, they lay off an EMP in the middle of our country over Nebraska, and we're all going to be in the Stone Age, and most of us are going to die. So you can die as a Democrat, you can die as a Republican or an independent. It doesn't matter. Let's stop this while we still have time, Colonel.
Well said, brother, because if it's not now, there's no future to do it. Because why would any country that wishes us to be gone, why wouldn't they take advantage of us right now?
Yeah.
They certainly wouldn't wait 2 years till there's another president. It's going to happen soon. If it happens, I sure hope it doesn't. Thanks, Skip, for your comments and your insights. Folks, I hope you can make some sense out of what we said, and I hope you'll communicate it to your elected representatives. We've got to stand up for our country, and we've got to do it now. Thanks, Skip.
Thank you, Colonel.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We're going to start the second hour talking with Steve Burkhalter from Concerned Veterans for America. Then we'll shoot the bull with Air Force vet Amanda Winter. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for jumping jacks. Do 50 good ones, grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.